Lord, we just ask right now as we open up your word, you speak to us. God, we always pray that the power is found in your word and not in my words. The power is in your thoughts and your commands and your instructions for our life. And so, Lord, I pray that as we read through Scripture today, we talk about it, we discuss it, that God, we interpret correctly, that we communicate it correctly. But that, Lord, it's your word that meets us where we are. And so, God, if this spurs action for us and we're encouraged to take a step, then, God, I'm grateful for that. Or if it teaches us something today that we did not know, or if it corrects a wrong behavior, then, Father, that's what we ask as we come before you during this time right now. We love you, Father. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So as you can see, we are starting a new series. It is on the importance of giving and what the Bible tells us. And here's the deal. Jesus, we know, talked about the topic of money often. As a matter of fact, it was the second most talked about topic that he taught on in his three-year ministry. And the cool thing about that with Jesus is that as he taught on it, he himself never asked for money. He never asked for people outside of the coin. He never asked for anybody to give him money, but that the money should be given away. All right? Jesus, as often as he talked about it, he never asked about it. Now, here's the thing about money when it comes to churches. I've already heard, because we've already had a sermon, Joe, on January 5th in our I Will series, preached on, I will be generous, I will give generously. And so I've had somebody say to me, well, we've already had a sermon on money, we don't need to talk about it again, right? And I was looking at our notes, we didn't talk about money at all in 2019. There was not one sermon directed towards money or generosity or giving in 2019. So I think you're overdue. Okay, I'll just go ahead and tell you right now. You are overdue. Our bookkeeper would say you're definitely overdue, and so here it is. We are going to be talking not about so much about money, okay, but about giving of money. Because we all have some money. I don't know anybody in the room that doesn't have some amount of money or access to money. His hands are starting to shoot up. We're familiar with this concept of having money, and it's ours, and here's what we do with it. But we want to see, and we want to look at what the Bible says about giving. Now, this entire year, we're going to be preaching on spiritual disciplines or habits. I mean, that's going to be a reoccurring theme throughout this entire year. As a matter of fact, our next sermon series is called Core Four. It's going to deal with four core spiritual disciplines: worship, fasting, prayer, and the text, study. Okay? We're going to be doing and talking about spiritual disciplines often, because here's the thing with spiritual disciplines, or habits as some people call them. Spiritual disciplines and habits, they will bear fruit. Right? Any habit that is incorporated into your life will have results of some kind. Good or bad, they will produce results. And so the purpose of a spiritual discipline is to enhance our relationship with God. That's the purpose. And so you see these things mentioned throughout Scripture and throughout the New Testament. There's these habits, these disciplines of you need to do this, or you these practices that we see in the Old Testament. It's not some burdensome checklist that we're to do every day, but they're habits that we are to incorporate into our life so that our relationship with God is enhanced, it's strengthened, it's better. Disciplines such as worship. I mean, we come together every Sunday and we sing songs. That's a small part of what worship is, trust me. We come together and we sing these songs. That's a discipline that enhances our relationship. We talk about prayer. We talk about meditation. We're going to talk about fasting, giving thanks. These are just a few. And so it's important for us to understand this morning that disciplines produce fruit. And that's certainly true when it comes to the discipline of giving. So we're calling this sermon series the three P's of giving. But here's the thing. For you and you only, I'm going to give you a fourth P. I mean, it's a bonus P. You guys, because you are here this morning, and I'm not going to charge you anything extra for it, okay? I am going to give you a fourth P when it comes to money. And you've got to really kind of have this fourth P. That's why we're doing it on the front end instead of the back end. Because if you have this P word up front, you're going to be better off for the rest of the series. So today, don't get confused. We're not covering two of the three P's, and so you get to check out. You're getting a bonus P. And that bonus P is perspective. When it comes to money, we must have a perspective change. Because here's the thing. It is ingrained in us as human beings to believe that what is mine, my possessions, my vehicle, my house, money, income, it's ingrained in us as humans to believe that all that we have actually is ours. And it makes sense to believe it, right? After all, I mean, you've worked hard. You've sacrificed. You've saved. You've managed money to buy the things that you have. And so it only makes sense for us to actually think that what we have is actually ours. Fair? That's fair. And so if we're going to get into this, we've actually got to have a perspective change, because you're wrong. It's not yours. I don't care how hard you've worked. I don't care that you've put in 55 plus hours a week and you've saved and you've invested, and none of that stuff matters. It's not yours. Now, I'm speaking to, of course, those of you who are Christ followers. And you've said that, no, God is the first thing in my life, because the reality is everything belongs to Him. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to Him." Right? I mean, like, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. From your hobby equipment, to the decorations hanging on your wall, to the food in your pantries, you name it, what you have. The closets full of food, the closets. We keep food in our closets just in case of emergencies. We don't even have enough closet space in our current home for a week's worth of food. Our closets are full of clothing, all of it. Every single bit of that belongs to the Lord. Hebrews also says, God is the one who made all things, and all things are for His glory. Even the closets full of food are for His glory. Everything that is yours, everything that is that you can think of is for His glory and should bring glory to Him in some capacity. So now when it comes to our money and possessions, we are managers of what God has given us. We're stewards. That's the Bible word. And we are responsible for how it is being used and what we do with it. God has given each and every one of us something. All right? Stella has money that she has been given. My son works. He has an income. You have incomes. Everything that we have has been given to us through God. Okay? And we are the managers. We're the stewards. We're the ones who are responsible for how these things get used. Why? Because everything that we have is to bring Him glory. That's our responsibility. So it doesn't matter how much is in your checking account. It doesn't matter what your financial state is. If you have a little or if you have a lot, if you're doing very well with managing money or you're poor with managing money, it doesn't matter where you fall in that spectrum. What you have to have is the perspective change to know that what you do have, you are responsible for managing, and that what you have is to bring glory to God. That's the bonus P. Good? Okay. Now we can get on to the three P's of giving. So the first P that I want to share with you today, it's not going to be long, I promise. The first P when it comes to giving is priority. That's the first P. Priority. Giving to the Lord must become a priority in our lives as followers of Jesus. Now, the word priority is simple enough, right? I mean, we get that. It's simple. Something that is regarded as more important than something else. I mean, that's what a priority is. We all have priorities in our lives. You know, hey, there's going to be a football game that comes on today, 5 or 5:30, and America is going to come to a standstill so that we can sit down and watch the commercials that are associated with that game, because really none of us here care about the game itself. Right? I mean, there's going to be priority TV. I have a list of things that I need to be doing in a home remodel that I could go do. But you want to know what I want to do? I'm going to stop this afternoon, and I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to get cleaned up for my life group's sake, and I am going to go watch this because it is a priority. It, in the moment this afternoon, is more important than something else. Now, I just want to share with my life group real quick. I'm really there for you guys and not the game. That's the truth. And some jalapeno poppers or something else that's coming that I'm excited for. So, we understand the concept of priorities. Because I'm not the only one that's going to block out something today. We do it all the time. Amanda's not feeling well. And so you want to know what became a priority? Going to the doctor. We have priorities in our lives. And here's the truth when it comes to our money. Giving must become a priority. And so when it comes to managing God's money, giving back to Him a portion should be regarded as more important than how we use the rest of it. Let me say that again. When it comes to managing God's money, giving back to Him a portion should be regarded as more important than how we use the rest of it. We're not going to get into how much to give today. All right? That's coming. We're going to talk about what the Bible says. But here's the thing. The first thing that we are instructed to do, and it's consistent in Scripture, is that with whatever it is we have, the first thing that we do with it is give back to God. All right? That is a biblical truth that goes all the way back to when this concept was first written into Scripture. So with that said, we're still responsible for how we manage and use the rest of what we keep. Okay? It's not like I get to, okay, I'm going to cut out this much and give it to God, but then I just get to do whatever I want with the rest of it. We are still stewards of the rest of it, and the rest of it still has to bring glory to God. All right? So let's wrap our mind around what's being said so far. The bonus P I shared with you is perspective. So, Michael, what you're telling me is that what is mine, or what I thought was mine, really belongs to God. And now you're telling me that I should give a portion back to God as a priority, meaning that I now have less to live on. Well done. You've paid attention. That is exactly what I'm telling you. That yes, if you came in here thinking that what you had is yours, all right, yes, it is not. It belongs to God. All right? I am sharing that with you, and that is a truth. And yes, now I am saying that you need to take what is not yours and give a portion of it back to God. Therefore, you will have to live on less than what you're currently living on, assuming giving is not a priority. The idea of having less to live on is always a scary thought anytime you have to make a lifestyle change. Some of the hardest conversations that we have to have with people. Know somebody at Starbucks, as a matter of fact, whose husband, he's given notice and was losing his job right here after buying a truck and building a new home and losing the job. And now what are we going to do? We're scared. Hey, will you pray for us? Will you pray for our situation? It's scary when we have to face the reality that sometimes we may have to live on less than what we're currently used to. And so now you're saying, Michael, as I make giving a priority, that is what I have to do. You're saying God expects me to do this on my own. If you currently don't make giving a priority, then you may not fully grasp how God works this morning. If you're scared of the idea of living on less, I want to comfort you by saying that God is unique in how He works. And you ask anyone who has made giving back to God a priority, you ask anyone who has made giving to God a priority, and they will tell you that God always provides. In God's economy, you live on less better when He is the priority than when you had more. Did you know that? I've experienced this in my life time and time again. I shared with our Rethink Money class how, you know what, I remember the day that Amanda and I, in our early married life, we're sitting at our home on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, Georgia. It was a Friday. We had just gotten paid that day, and the money was already gone, and we could not afford the 79-cent tacos at Taco Bell. We couldn't afford. We did not have the money or the means, and it was payday. Because we were so far extended and we were poor managers of what we had. And we had no idea what was going to take place. And it was just like, what is going on? And I'll tell you this, we sat down and there was probably some arguing that took place. You know her, she's loud, gets real loud. And I'm just calm and gentle and just absorb it. There was some heated discussion in the kitchen. It had this flowery wallpaper. I remember it. And what resulted of that was, you know what? We can't even give. Not only can we not buy a couple of tacos for dinner tonight, we can't even give to church on Sunday. Because, you know, we were given our tithing $25. That was just our standard go-to, was $25 at that season of life. I honestly don't think that our gift was even a 10%, but we couldn't afford the $25 on Sunday. And we were, for some reason, tacos led into our conviction of not having tacos, led into our conviction of the fact that God had to become first in our giving. And so as we made that decision, money just fell from the sky. I'm just kidding. No. As we made that decision, and we started actually practicing this concept of putting God first and giving to Him first, suddenly there was money for tacos. We started to begin, and that is what I would say, that was when we started a very long journey of actually getting control of our finances. And in God's economy, you will live on less better when He is the priority. The math may not make sense, but when we make God the priority and we give to Him first, it always works out. And so, as it doesn't make sense, and maybe you're scared to take some steps, I want to share a couple of passages with you that, at the beginning, have nothing to do with money. The first is Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Verse 7, I added this. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Here's the thing with God, church. We do this all the time. I do this. I'll use an I statement. I do this all the time. And I'll use another I statement. I believe you do too. You cannot compartmentalize your life when it comes to God. You can't say, God, I'm going to run this part of my life over here, and I'm going to take, you know, keep this part over here in check, and I'm going to keep you out of it. I'll give you, Lord, this part over here, but I'm going to manage this part over here. You cannot do that with God. It's called serving two masters. And God will have nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, we'll see in the weeks to come, you're actually bringing on curses to yourself instead of blessings. You can't say, I'm going to run over this life over here, and God, you run this part. So when it comes to our money, we have to trust God with every fiber of our being. You have to. And there's no just good way to do it. I wish I could give you a course and inspire you to, here's the steps to take to really trust God and with all your heart. Other than sometimes you just have got to jump in there and you've got to do it and you've got to test God. Because did you know the one place in the Bible that we are allowed to test God is money and giving to Him. Other people tested God, but the one where the Lord declares, test me in this, has to do with you and your giving. So when it comes to our money, we have to trust God with every fiber of who we are. Jesus says it this way, in Matthew 6, 24, no one can serve two masters, for you'll hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And He will give you everything you need. See, when we do not make giving a priority, we're enslaved to money. And we're consumed with how things are going to happen. We're consumed with clothing and food and shelter. We're consumed with these things. Why worry about the things we worry about? He says, it does not add to your life. And he wraps this up by verse 33, seek the kingdom of God above all else. The ESV says, seek the kingdom of God first. First would be the priority. First would be that this is more important than anything else. And so, church, we have to, in God's economy, we have to make giving a priority. Go back to Proverbs with me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do. He will show you which path to take. Now, just stop right there for a second. This is Solomon, the wisest man, saying, you trust God with all your heart, with all of who you are, and you don't depend on your own understanding. Church, I want to tell you something right now, that every time that I have depended on my own understanding when it comes to finances, I've talked myself into things. I've made purchases that I had no business purchasing. I've opened up credit cards just so I can have some more because I always justify it with, oh, I'll just get that taken care of, lady. Oh, I'll just pay that off later. Oh, I'll just get this. I'll get it now, and then I'll start doing well. And because I'm sitting there depending on my own understanding. And he says, seek His will in all you do. And I'm hoping that from this series today and through the rest of the next couple of weeks as we talk about giving, that you're going to understand, and this has been my prayer, that when it comes to money, giving back to God is very much a part of His will. That you managing what you have and allowing it to bring glory is very much a part of His will. And then skip a verse. 7, 8, look at verse 9. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your understanding. And then look at 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. I want to go ahead and tell you right now, if you're in this room and you're hearing my voice, you have wealth. You trust me. I've traveled the world enough to know that you have wealth. Now you may not have wealth compared to other people, you know, outside of this room and the people who we go watch today, and we're gonna see numbers about how much a commercial cost. You may not have that kind of wealth, but I'm here to tell you today, as James talks about, you have wealth, church. And the wisest man is saying that you are to honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce. then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. When you honor him with what you have and you put the best part, the first part, that's what the best part is, by the way. It's the first. When you put the best, the first part of what you have, what you produce, then he will fill your barns with grain. And we could parade people up here from this room that have tested this verse, and they will tell you time and time again when this principle is being lived out in their life that God has filled their barns with grain. So we leave you today with your next step. Maybe today you are a faithful giver. You give, and it goes beyond just giving out of obligation, but you give because God loves a cheerful giver, and you give because you want to give. And it's not out of the abundance of what you have. But you give because you know that it's a priority. Then, praise the Lord, I encourage you to keep on keeping on. Don't slow down. Maybe you're in here today and you're just a sometimer. You know what? Hey, we got a little bit of extra money and we give it. And I want to give you the same advice that I want to say to those who, hey, maybe you don't give. I've been asked this question a lot recently. Well, do I have to give to the church? And I'm like, well, yes, you have to give to the church because that's how I get paid. No. I never knew how to answer that question. Because Jesus did just say, give it to the poor. Right? I mean, that's what he said. He would say, give it to the poor. But here's the thing that changed after Jesus. The church. And Jesus' method for reaching the world was the church. And the one thing that Jesus talked about more than money was the kingdom of God and people coming to and being part of said kingdom. And God's plan was the church. And so I've gotten to this point where, yeah, I think our giving has to be to the church. And so maybe you're in the third category and you never give. I want to challenge you based on the words that we've read today and the words that will come, that you make this a matter of prayer. And that you, as we will read next week, test God. Not one Sunday. Don't come in and give a percentage next week and then expect to get home and there be a mailbox full of money or check your banking account and think that, you know, somebody refunded you something great. But test God over some time and see what happens. I've never met somebody that took that challenge that regretted it. Father, I pray that we will honor you with our money. God, may we see that as Jesus came and he gave of himself, he gave 100% of who he was, that, Lord, that we will see the need to follow in these very steps of giving back. And so, Lord, help us to be, convict us to be wise and good money managers as you are allowing us to manage. And Father God, I pray that we honor you and what we do with our money brings glory to you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.